Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, hey, everyone. So glad to have you in service with us today. And a big shout out to everybody watching online as well. You're a huge part of what God is doing. And today is a really big day, as Greg just shared, one of our elders, as we start a brand new series called Behind the Vote. You ask, we answer, you decide. And it's a series unlike anything else we've ever done before. And honestly, I am so blown away by your responses this past week. So many people voting in, contributing here in the room, here online. So I'd encourage you, just like Greg did, like fill this out. You let your voice be heard, and we're going to have some fun in this series. And here's what we know, starting common ground, that we all have opinions. We all have different views. We all see things the same and then also differently, and we all come from different backgrounds as well. In fact, I want to start today, because we got some heavy hitters, just so you know, but I want to start today with a little more lighthearted, okay? And so I want you to participate with this. In fact, you can participate in a moment by raising a hand, lifting up both hands, like give me some kind of showing here. Like, let's have fun. It's more fun if you participate. And online, you can raise a hand, like in the chat on Facebook or on YouTube as well, if you want to play along. So get ready. So let's have some fun here, a little lighthearted at the beginning. Here's the first question. Many of us know that today at 12 p.m., the Houston Texans play again. Now, things have not looked so great. They are 0-3. They're playing another team that's 0-3, the Vikings, at 12 p.m. So here's the question, all right? Do you think that the Houston Texans, since they're 0-3, do you think their season is over already, okay? Some of you are like, it's done, it's finished, hands are already up. If you think yes, would you raise your hand? Wow, these are the unbelievers in the room, okay? Lacking faith, I hope you're responding online as well. Now, I know we can just assume if your hand wasn't raised that you're on, hey, there's life left, but still, I want to see your hands. If you're here and you got faith in the house and you believe it's not over until we say it's over, would you raise a hand? Wave it in the air like you just don't care, like a couple of people. Wow. Okay. All right. We got some work to do in the faith department. We've all got different views, right? Here's another one, and this may not be many people. I'm not sure. I'm curious to find out. Again, respond online in the chat. But who watching would say you like to hunt? Like, where are my hunters at? Would you get your hand in there? All right, we got a few people. Everybody else is judging us right now. My hand's up. I like to hunt, okay? All right, you can put your hand down. Who would say you don't like to hunt? Save Bambi, save the animals. All right, there we go. Y'all just love God's creation, right? They're awesome. Very interesting. Now I like to hunt. I don't know if I'd consider myself a hunter, but I've been hunting a few times in my life. But hunting is interesting. Again, we got different views, different opinions. Like we call it hunting, but I've been with some like real hardcore hunters before. And here's what they do. They own land and they set a feeder to a certain time. That way the deer, the animals come to the exact location that they want them to come. And they come at the exact time they want them to come. So really, it's not hunting, it's like catching, right? It's kind of interesting. Not only that, and again, I would call myself a hunter. Not only that, but hunters who are really good, and yes, it takes skill. Yes, it's hard work. But what they do is not only do they have that feeder set to a certain time, but hundreds of yards away, they hide in a tree fort with a high-powered rifle, and they snipe that animal. That's what they do, right? It's kind of interesting. But not just that. What do we do when we go hunting? We've got a few hunters in the room. Like we wear camo. And some of y'all crazy people pour deer pee on you as well, by the way. You can find it in any Bass Pro Shop. Like, literally. And we do everything we can to disguise and hide and then take. I mean, the animals don't have a chance. Let's just be honest. Let's not call it hunting. Let's call it catching. But again, if you're a hunter and you own land and you got some cool stuff, invite me out. I want to come hang out with you, okay? So I'm all for it. But again, we got different views, different opinions. We all come from different backgrounds. And here's what you need to know. We're all entitled to our opinions, but not everyone is entitled to the facts. Can I get an amen in God's house? Okay. And so throughout this series, we're going to tackle some very tough questions. Again, I hope you'll vote and turn it in the back of the room. You can submit it online as well for this upcoming Sunday. But we're tackling tough questions about God, life, the Bible. In fact, I want to set some ground rules for this series, and this is really, really important, okay? So I want you to pay attention to this before we jump in. Here's the first rule during this series that we start today. Where the Bible speaks clearly, we will not waver, even if it offends someone, okay? Got a good amen there, and that's good. I want you to know that we believe around here that the Bible doesn't need to change. We need to change. Can I get a better amen in God's house? Okay, so that's the first rule. Here's the second rule. If there's no scripture that directly applies to the question you're asking, we're going to go on a hunt, pun intended, in the Bible, and we're going to find scriptures that are similar to it and apply them. So we're talking about the principles. Rule number three, when we can't find principles to apply, we're going to do one of two things. Number one, we'll just ignore the question. Or number two, I'm going to give you my opinion, which is perfectly fine for you to disagree with. Like, you can throw it out the window. I'm all right with it. Please hear me, friend. Hear me. Listen up. Like, it's okay. It's 100% okay if we disagree on the non-essentials. I want you to know that. We don't have to hate each other like culture says, all right? Like, we can still be friends. We can still be on the same team. And honestly, I'm 100% okay for you to disagree with my opinions, and it's perfectly fine for you to be wrong. But anyways, so I want to jump right in to the first question that you asked. Some of you caught that. Some of you will catch that tomorrow because you hadn't had enough coffee yet. Here's the first question, okay? This was top of the list. Like, so many people picked this. This was number one. Like, so many people are asking this question. Here it is. First question, are we living in the last days? Are we living in the last days? If you're taking notes, you should write that down. Are we living in the last days? And just to get us on the same page, here's what you mean by that. And I got my teaching hat on today, not necessarily my preaching hat, my teaching hat. And by last days, we're talking about end of the world kind of stuff. We're talking about Jesus coming back again to earth, the rapture, the tribulation, millennial reign, the battle of Armageddon, all that stuff and more. Now, whether you know all of those terms or even more than that, or whether you have no idea, I think we can all agree that this is an important question, right? That's why you asked it. Are we living in the last days? So let's go to God's word for answers. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture references. In fact, my biggest enemy today is the clock, all right? So I'm going to try my best because I want to hit more than one question. Try my best to get us through this. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5 are going to be our main text. We're going to start in chapter 4 at verse 16. But I'm going to give you a lot of references you'll have to write down and study later this week if you're interested. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16, and then we'll move to the next chapter here quickly. We're going to see the Apostle Paul writing to the church here answering this question. They had this question too. And it's going to be really helpful for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to read from the NIV. Here's what it says. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven, talking about the second coming, with a loud command, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. It is going to be loud, what Paul says here. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, this is interesting, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together. We call that the rapture. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Some of you didn't ask this question, but some of you have asked this question before. Like, will we know our loved ones? Well, right here, we'll meet our loved ones that are believers in the air with the Lord. So as we're going up, what's up, man? Good to see you again. Give him some knuckles on the way. Like, that's kind of cool. Interesting. Verse 18. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Move to chapter 5. Chapter 4 is ended. Verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates. This is the question they were asking. This is the question that you're asking. About times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, hey, nothing's going on here, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, he's talking to Christians, the church, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You're all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, what's Paul saying? Because of everything I just said, I'm saying this. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Awake and sober. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much, and I thank you, God, that we've got moments like this to learn more about you, to hear from you. And I pray, God, as we answer some very important questions today, that every ear would be open to what you have to say. In fact, if maybe we've had improper views that do not line up with your word, I pray, God, we would not look for the word to change, but we would ask you to change us. Lord, we love you so much, and it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The first question's one people have been asking for a while, as you've seen. And really, if you look to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that the disciples asked Jesus this kind of question all the time. And I want to give you a passage right at the beginning to study on your own. Jesus had a lot to say about the last days, the end of the world, in Matthew chapter 24. All my note takers are writing that down because you want to study that or restudy that later on. But let's get to our question. Are we living in the last days? Here's what I know. People are asking this question. You ask this question because you see the mess that our world is in, right? You see the fires that are raging. You see the division in politics and culture. You see the anger, the hate, the venom. COVID-19 has touched almost every single family or job in some way at this point. Like, you see the mess of our world, and you feel like the writing's on the wall, and you're trying to make sense of what's happening in our world. And so what does the Bible say? Not just 1 Thessalonians, but the Bible in general, Old Testament and New Testament, the Bible as a whole. You need to know this. The Old and New Testament give specific prophecies, big fancy church word, predictions of what Jesus coming back will look like right before that and even during the end of the world. You'll see prophecies, Old and New Testament, that speak to these kinds of things specifically. If you're taking notes, write this down. In particular, the New Testament, okay? The end of the world, specifically the second coming of Jesus, is brought up over 300 times. It's talked about a lot. And so as you research and study Bible prophecy, which is really challenging, by the way, if you've ever done that, if you ever look through that, it's difficult. But when you attempt to do it, hear me clearly. It seems like a lot, if not all, of the boxes have now been checked when it comes to the end of the world, and even some during our lifetime. You're going to be interested with these next couple of things. Again, time-wise, I don't have a chance to give you more than this. Here's some interesting things to consider about some of these signs or predictions. Write down this reference, Matthew 24, 14. Again, this is Jesus talking about it. He says something very interesting, and you can see it on the screen in the room. But Jesus says this in that chapter, that before he comes again, the gospel will be preached to everyone. And what's really cool about this is it shows the heart of God, doesn't it? That Jesus was like, I'm not coming back a second time until everybody gets a chance. Like, isn't that awesome, by the way? You've asked that question before. Well, what about people that don't know? God says, I'm going to make sure everybody has a chance. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Leave that on the screen for a moment, just that. Matthew 24, 14. Think about our lifetime for a moment. What has happened in the last 50 years or so makes this extremely possible. In your pocket, purse, or even in your lap as you're taking notes digitally, hopefully not scrolling on Instagram, but taking notes digitally, you have a device called a phone, an iPhone, most of you have, and you have access to so much more than any other generation. Think about satellite TV. You can watch something that's happening in Africa in your home. Think about internet. You can watch something live streaming in real time that's happening in Australia from just your phone. Like, we have more access to messages and the gospel going forth than at any point in history. Think about Bible translation. That's critical, by the way, if you're going to preach the gospel. Bible translation. Now, we don't just have different cultures in different countries. How many of y'all know we got lots of different people groups that speak different languages, different dialects? In fact, as a church, we've given to companies, nonprofits like Illuminations, where they're making sure that we translate the Bible into all those different languages. What are you saying, Pastor? It's happening now. It's happening. We're spoiled. We get the gospel every single week here in America. But we're getting to the point where almost every single person is getting at least one chance to hear the gospel, the good news. And Jesus said, hey, I'm not coming back again until that's happened. Here's a second one. I wish I could give you so much more. It's very fascinating. Write down this reference. Revelation 13. Many of you have heard this term. You can put this on the screen. The mark of the beast. I encourage you to study this, and it's challenging. We should do a whole series on the book of Revelation. I think you'd eat it up. It's a lot of work on me, okay? So we're going to get there probably one day. But like Revelation 13 is very fascinating. And in one particular portion, it talks about the mark of the beast. And here's what it says. That during the end of the world, you'll have to get a mark on your right hand or your forehead. And that if you don't have that mark of the beast, of the enemy, of Satan, then you can't buy anything or sell anything. And so literally, you can't survive during that period of time unless you have the mark of the beast. Now, for many years, in fact, this is probably how you thought for a while if you grew up in church. For many people, many years, people assumed it would be a tattoo. That, hey, don't get a tattoo on your forehead. Don't get a tattoo on your right hand or wrist. Like many people assume that. Now, again, our generation, now many people believe it's going to be a microchip. What you think about it, what's already happening. Many of you, especially if you have an iPhone, you can swipe your phone at HEB. You can tap your credit card for contactless payment, right? Like you can do all that now. Now, in fact, you should Google this later, not now, but in Sweden, people have already microchipped their wrist. It's already happened. It's happening now. And so I don't know what it's going to look like. It could be a tattoo. It could be a microchip. It could be something else. But I'm telling you, the technology is available. It's here. Like, people going to be in HEB, y'all, swiping their forehead to get milk. I don't know what it's going to look like. But it's here. It's possible now. So, are we living in the last days? I know you want me to answer it. Like, are we living in the last days? Pastor, I'll tell you this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Make it personal. You're living in your last days. And that's not a death threat, by the way. I'm living in my last days, that's the honest truth. Now, I wonder, if I tell you definitively, because I know you want it, if I tell you definitively, yes, we're living in the last days, if I tell that to you, if I say that to you, would you live differently If I told you today in the room online that yes, we are living in the last days, would you live differently? And if the answer is yes, then I'll tell you, yes, we're living in the last days. Yes, if you'll live differently, yes, we're living in the last days. I'll tell you, like, I don't know how many days we have left, but we're closer today than we were yesterday. And that frustrates many of you, I know. You're like, I saw that YouTube video. It had millions of views. People were forwarding it to me, sharing it. Like I saw it. And I know that frustrates you, but honestly, this is the healthy biblical view, and I want you to be healthy. I want you to have the right perspective. So the answer is yes, but also we don't know. Yes, but also we don't know. Because yes, it seems like we're in the last days. I see the same stuff happening that you see happen, but we don't know the exact last day. It's soon, but not here yet. Like the early church, we find ourselves living in the tension. You got to get used to this, okay? Because it's biblical. Living in the tension of realization and expectation. We've got to learn to live in the tension of the already and the not yet of the end times. But here's what we know for sure, because I know you want a sure answer. We know this for sure. Jesus is coming back again. Can I get an amen in God's house? He is coming back again. And here's what we also know, number two, that it can happen at any moment. It could happen before I finish this next sentence. It could happen before we leave to go back to our homes today. Like it could happen at any moment. So the best question, this is what we all should have asked, is what do I do with this information? Like, what do I do with this knowledge that Jesus is coming again? It could happen at any moment. Can I give you two things before we move on to the next question? I'm going to hit the next question real quickly. I'm fighting the clock. I know you see it. Here's two things real quick from 1 Thessalonians. Number one, it should encourage us. It should encourage us. Verse 18 of chapter 4, what did Paul say to the church? Therefore, encourage one another. Encourage one another with these words. Paul says that the end of the world should not be scary if you're a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, yes, it's scary. But if you're living for Jesus, it shouldn't be scary. Paul says it should comfort you. But how, Pastor? I've read some of Revelation. I've watched way too many zombie movies. Like, how can I be encouraged? The reason you can be encouraged is because God describes Jesus coming back as our blessed hope. That's Bible, by the way. Blessed hope if we're followers of Jesus. And so if you're struggling right now, not with this question, but just with life, I want you to lean in for a second. If you're struggling, if this life is tough for you, thank God that this is your temporary home. Like, I'll say it to you this way. Houston is cool. It's great. But heaven's a whole lot better, y'all. Like, Houston's great, but heaven's a whole lot better. In fact, let me encourage some of you that are following the Lord. For those who know God, this is as bad as it gets. It only gets better. That should encourage you, by the way, if you're following Jesus. But for those who don't know God, this is as good as it gets. It only gets worse. And so you got to wrestle with this. Number two, it should prepare us. This is chapter 5, verse 6. What did Paul say at the end of all this? So then, let us not be like other people who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. So friend, you got to make sure you're ready for Jesus coming back. Like, ask yourself this question. If Jesus comes back, is he coming back for me? Because he's coming back. But he's coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his people, people that are living for him, following him. And so you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. These are healthy questions, and this is how the Bible covers this topic, by the way. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Here's some practical wisdom for you and your family in view of the last days. Plan like Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years, but live like Jesus is coming back today. That's how you should live your life. That's how you should prepare. I'm going to skip a quote that I was going to share with you for time's sake. Number two, second question I'm going to hit quickly here. What will heaven and hell look like? So many people ask this question too. What will heaven and hell look like? If I'm taking notes, I'm writing down that question. So many ask this, obviously another very important question. Y'all gave me some heavy hitters today, all right? So I did a lot of research this week, a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation. According to a very recent study, Tony's going to help me finish this thing here quickly. According to a very recent study, 72% of Americans believe heaven is real, while only 58% believe hell is real. And I think that's kind of wishful thinking probably, right? Like, I hope that it's not. But, you know, as a pastor, like, this subject is really challenging. Like, what does heaven look like? What does hell look like? Are they real places? And the reason why this is challenging is because a lot of people, they get their view of heaven, they get their view of hell from movies and songs and TV shows instead of the Word of God. So it's challenging. Now, you may not have this view, but a lot of people have this view when they think of heaven, okay? A lot of people, this is, just blows my mind, but it's just reality. A lot of people think that heaven is babies floating in clouds, wearing diapers, like for real, playing harps. A lot of people think heaven is going to be like this boring, never-ending church service that just goes on and on and on and on. Friend, that's not heaven. That seems a lot like hell to me, by the way. Like, that's not heaven, but we think that. Oh, we're going to get our own cloud up there. And it's just, I mean, we're all going to be shirtless and wearing diapers again. No, that's, no. Like, but people think that, it's just so weird. Again, I don't have a lot of time. We could do a whole series on heaven and hell where I could give you very specific details. But I just want to give you a few things, and then we're going to close this. If you still get your Bible open, this is really fascinating. In Matthew 24, Jesus addresses, are we in the last days, end of the world stuff. The next chapter, he addresses heaven and hell. It's interesting, isn't it? Are we in the last days, end of the world? And then he hits heaven and hell in chapter 25. I'm going to read to you a few verses and then I'll sum up what he says. I'd encourage you to read it on your own. Verse 31, chapter 25, Jesus speaking of himself, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. Check this out. There's a judgment. Check this out. And he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You want to be a sheep, by the way. Not a goat, you want to be a sheep. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then Jesus goes on to describe what heaven and hell are going to look like. Not in great detail, but he gives us some huge bullet points that I'm going to give you here in just a second. I'm going to sum it up for you. But I also want to give you another reference to read this week if you're interested in this subject, if you ask this question. In fact, I think it's only found in one of the gospel accounts, but write down this reference, Luke chapter 16. Let me see here. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Jesus talks about what happens after we die, the reality of heaven and hell, because they are real places. You'll research that later on if you're interested in this question. But here's what Jesus says in Matthew 25 after the verses we just read. He talks about hell, he talks about heaven, real places. Let's start with hell. Here's what he says, and if I'm taking notes, I'm going to write these down. Jesus says that hell was not created for us. And that's really important because many of you have asked the question, well, why would God create a place like that? Jesus says he didn't create it for you, he didn't create it for me, he created it for Satan and the demons. And so if you go to hell, it's a real place. It's by your choice, not God's choice. You're deciding to go to a place that God did not create for you. That's really important, good theology that Jesus gives us here. You need to know that. Like soul level, know that. Here's another thing Jesus says about hell. those there will experience eternal fire. We all know that's not good. Being burned up, over and over again for all of eternity. Here's another thing he says, in hell, cursing will never end. Will never end. Curses upon curse, it's never going to end in hell. And this is really big. Last thing Jesus talks about here in this passage, there is no second chance. There's no second chance. You're completely separated from God. There's no, if I do this, I can get out one. You're there for eternity. On the flip side, here's what Jesus says about heaven, a far better place. The first thing is this, it was created for you. That's where Jesus wants you to go. Jesus created heaven for you. Would you feel these words on the inside? That's your eternal home. Second thing he says is that those there will experience eternal life. Joy, peace, bliss. You won't want to ever go anywhere else. Eternal life. Jesus says this, I know you'll like this one. Blessing never ends. To be blessed upon blessed upon blessed upon blessed, it will never end. And lastly, and I think this is so perfect for our time we're in that is so uncertain. Here's the last thing he says. There is security in heaven. You don't have to worry about somebody doing something to you or taking you away or you ending up somewhere else. You can be 100% completely secure. Nobody's locking their doors in heaven, okay? No one's fearful of catching a virus in heaven. There's security. And Jesus, he designed heaven for you and me, but he's also given you a choice. Will you surrender your life to Jesus, and that's the only way you get to heaven? Not by your works or what you try to do or being a good person, but because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross? Or will you choose to live life your own way and end up in a place called hell, a real place that was never even designed for you? It's your choice. It's your choice. Watching online, it's your choice. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Jesus is coming again, and he's coming soon. Are you ready? Heaven and hell are real. Are you ready? I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would search our hearts, and that you'd reveal any sin to us, that you would show us anything that we've set our life upon that's not you. And I pray, God, those in the room, those watching online, those watching later on demand on YouTube, I pray, God, that we would take this seriously. Heaven and hell are real. And if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice that you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, that you have not made him your personal Lord and Savior, asking him to forgive you of your sins. If you've never made that decision, I pray today would be your day that you choose Jesus. In fact, every eye closed, if it's not closed already, every head bowed in the room and other rooms. If you're far from God and you want to surrender your life to him, I'm going to give you some words that you can say out loud to him. You don't have to scream them, but I do encourage you to whisper them underneath the sound of your voice. To talk to Jesus. In fact, right now you can whisper things like this to him. It's really important that you tell him this, that Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I put my faith in you that you rose from the dead. Like it really happened. And Jesus, I put my full faith in you. I don't build my life on anything else but you from this day forward. I don't know all the answers, Jesus, but I know you're the answer. And so I want to live my life for you. In fact, you need to ask him this sincerely. Jesus, please, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you make me new? I know I can't earn my way to heaven. It's only because of what you've done on the cross for me. I surrender my life. I submit my future to you. I'm going to leave this service knowing that my final destination is heaven, my eternal home. Thank you, Jesus, for saving. Thank you, Jesus, for setting free. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.